Welcome to another edition of the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show. Now, here's dementia care expert Tipa Snow and your host, Greg Phelps.
Hello, and welcome to Tipa Snow's Dementia Care Partners podcast. I'm your host, Greg Phelps, and joining me as usual is Tipa Snow. And Tipa, in a recent podcast, we were talking about Alzheimer's and the diagnosis and everything else like that, and into care, we've done programs on that. But what caught me totally off guard was the mention of a play I saw recently where the playwright's mother was forced to transfer to another facility six times as her behavior deteriorated. Now, I don't think it's quite like that in Canada. Our system is similar to yours, but exactly the same, but different. Have you ever heard of that? And could you ever sort of justify that?
Oh, I don't know about the justify. I've heard of it multiple times, particularly when people have atypical dementias, that those who are providing the service of dementia or memory care or just dementia-specific programming or services don't actually know that much about dementia. And so when someone has an atypical dementia or they have, you know, fairly significant symptoms due to a variety of their health conditions, what ends up happening, mental health conditions particularly, people will say, oh, yeah, we can do this. And then they take someone into their care and then they realize, whoa, boy, this is more than I'm not. This is not the person. I mean, this is not what we do. Back out. And you have to go find another spot. Now, usually, I'll be honest, it ends up they go to the ER. And I think that happens in Canada as well. They go to the ER because we can't manage it. And then in the ER, the facility that's had them said, we can't, you know, this situation is beyond what we can handle. And so then they're in the ER. And in Canada, often they'll go into the hospital because, you know, if the facility says we can't do this, we just can't. I mean, I assume they don't send them back to the facility in Canada. It hasn't gotten that bad, have they? They shove them back anyway.
No, I don't think so.
No. So then they have to wait for another place to open up. And so they sit in the hospital in Canada. It's a little different here. They won't get into the, they'll go back to the facility, but the facility says you have, you know, we can't do it, you know, and they may actually push back and say, oh, no, you'll have to send her for a psych eval. So we do the psych eval thing. And then the psych, you know, if something happens there, then it's time for a new facility. And then the family has to try to find a new place for mom to go, or dad more likely. So I see it, unfortunately, a good bit. And I see it particularly for people with the ones that come to mind for me that I've seen the most, Lewy body, FTD with behavioral symptoms, Alzheimer's with a history of anxiety, depression by nature, or a psychiatric diagnosis by history, or multiple life events prior to this starting up. So there's lots of changes already. And one of the things we know is changing locations causes more and more brain problems because the brain can't settle. The hippocampus is in acute distress because it can't be used to learn new stuff because it can't find its way and it can't keep up with anything. And so the anxiety kicks in and then we want to medicate. And then, Greg, I don't think it happens maybe as often in Canada. But I do think it happens, and I know it happens in the States, and it happens in other places as well, all over.
As if that wasn't enough, the problem was compounded because the person's mother's insurance ran out, so the family had to get into their wallets.
I'm so clinical. I forgot about that side. Oh, yeah. See, that's the difference between the States and Canada. It's not about necessarily the insurance or the payment. In the States, it's even worse because it is about the payment. We have different systems down here. So we have Medicaid and Medicare. We have private pay. We have insurance that'll only work here. It won't work there. We also have then these groups of insurance where we will have a provider of insurance and provider of care that's in one system and they can't be in the other system. So some of the big insurance providers, you have to have in-system support. You can't go out of system. So you'd have to change your healthcare provider. You'd have to change your insurance company. So you have, and each state has a different Medicaid provider, whereas you have a national system, but you have some state support as well for
care. We have provincial health authorities. So
Provincial. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's what it was. Because in different countries, it's states, it's provinces, it's regions, if you name it. Regardless of what it is, it's interesting. It's not just the care that's not adequate. The support of the care, the financial support of the care is problematic. And the space, I mean, there's also space problems. Like there's just one little unit and there's no room on the little unit where your person needs to be. So you got to go find another little unit because I can't put them in the general population. It sounds sort of like prison.
The gen pop. Yes. In the prisons. Yeah. So how much of this is sort of self-inflicted on ourselves, you know, because we want people to deal with a problem that we're not capable of dealing with. And maybe because it's a subject we don't like talking about, we don't deal with it beforehand. Like I should be dealing with everything. Well, I have, but I mean, generally we should be dealing with things so that we don't have to unload on our families at some point.
Yeah. The more we know ahead of time, the better we can make plans. I mean, and that evidence is strong. It turns out if you do some advanced planning, you know, like not get swamped in it, but do some advanced planning, you're in a much better place for making choices that make sense for you in advance. And you can always get surprised. I'm not saying you can't. But if I am looking around before I would need care, where would I want care if I develop dementia? I need to investigate and go visit, spend some time, maybe look at what my care options are, what's covered, what isn't, how. But that's not what we do. I mean, it's amazing to me how many folks are like, well, I don't know what my coverage is. I would assume I have Medicare. It's like, oh, well, that's good for having a UTI or maybe going to the hospital and have something evaluated, but it's not going to do much for you for dementia. I mean, that's not covered anything. And it's like, what do you mean? Well, not till you get to hospice, which may be why people, you know, that are like, oh, well, then I'll just, maybe she should go on hospice. No, we're not that far along yet. I mean, so that gets tricky because people do want a quick fix and dementia is not a quick fix condition. And many aging situations or even adult situations aren't quick. It takes time, effort, and focus. And it's like, oh, yeah. What are we having for lunch again, Greg?
Deepa, we talk a lot of topics here, but we don't always provide answers because your answer is different than my answer. So can I talk to somebody for 10 minutes and sort of get a feel as to what's available? How do I find out more information related to me and my situation? I don't want to go to a big class and, you know, get treated the same as everybody else.
Yeah. So it turns out that we have lots of ways that people can connect up. You could just send us an email at info@tipasnow.com. You can come online and chat. And at first, you'll sort of probably be in a thing that says, do you have a question? If we know an answer, a common answer, we'll say, here, do this, try this, get up with us here. But we also have our consult line. You know, if you do consult@tipasnow.com, you can do it via email, or you can just call our 800 number and check in with somebody and you'll get an answer. And then we'll get back to you and we can have a little conversation. And there's no charge for any of that. I mean, the reason we're here is to be supportive of folks. And if you have interest in a certain area, then we can sort of get you to look in that area and then get back with us and see what you thought. But we believe in bite-sized pieces because people choke if they eat too much at once. And if you don't like what you're eating, you don't
try eating the whole elephant.
And if you're trying to feed me something I don't like, I'm very likely not going to eat much of it at all. So I've got to find out what you tend to like and how you like it.
Thank you very much, Deepa. You've been listening to the Dementia Care Partners podcast. For more information on today's topic or any other questions, visit tipasnow.com.
Hi, I'm Deepa Snow, and you just found our YouTube channel and watched one of our videos. I'm the owner and founder of Positive Approach to Care. Thanks for watching. And if you have a comment about, or you would, please share it with people you know. Ooh, and if you haven't yet done it, consider subscribing. We'll let you know when the next new video comes out. And you might want to visit our website, www.tipasnow.com, where you'll find other resources as well. See you there.